welcome to the Tragic Rugby League Report. I'm your host tonight, Declan McCutcheon, and I am joined by the return of Mr. Zach Haig. How's it going, Zach? Good to see you again. Glad to have you back.
Thank you, mate. Good to be back. I've strategically timed my return off the back of two straight wins for the mighty Rabbitohs. Mm-hmm. And congratulations are in order for yourself, mate. Your first 2 points of the year for the Tigers. Oh. Hard-fought win against the bye. How's that feel, mate? You're finally on the board.
Mate, I can tell you where to stick it, but
I'm just trying to find some silver lining.
I actually hate the bye jokes, honestly. And it doesn't help because Tim Sheen's kind of played into it after the Eels loss. So that sucks for me. But yeah, it was just the worst. But yeah, I was surprised you didn't come on last week because the Bunnies won. I understood why you didn't come on the week before because the Bunnies lost. But then I was just like, oh, I would have thought you'd been keen to go. But you're here now. So
I was keen to go, mate. Especially last week, I was off the back of a nice 50-pointer. We raised the bat for the half ton, but unfortunately, mate, went down with a bit of tonsillitis, which is also known as the syndesmosis of the podcaster. really takes you out. So, and I'm back now, ready to roll.
Yeah, after a long night partying with Jai Arrow, he comes back with Glange. So, read into that what you will.
That's right. That's right. I wish.
But so for anyone who's new to the podcast, please chuck the follow on Instagram and Facebook. We're the Tragic Rugby League Report. And for everyone else who's tuning in again this week, thank you for listening to us. So as Zach kind of alluded to, it was actually a pretty good weekend for me because the Tigers had the bye. So, you know, my weekend wasn't immediately ruined for that. But what stuck out for you this weekend generally?
Another good round of footy. I feel like in general, again, pretty riveting stuff. I feel like the season in general, the quality of the games and just the tightness of the comp at the moment has been really positive. But I suppose if I had to pick a specific takeaway, mine is the Cowboys. I'm starting to maybe think it's time to hit the panic button for the Cowboys fans, to be honest. Like, going into the year, really high expectations. I mean, they came third last year. They sort of came out of the ground, came out of nowhere, and had a lot of younger guys that sort of had these breakout years. And I probably thought, all right, well, another year, you know, with these guys getting experience. They played in a prelim. They were, you know, a couple of points away from a grand final. You know, I could see them getting even better compared to where they were, especially how close they went. But they started the season really slowly, and I thought, well, obviously they won in round one. They had an impressive first half against the Raiders, but aside from that first 40 minutes of the season, I haven't really seen anything remotely close to where they were last year. And I feel like this whole time I've been thinking, oh, okay, you know, they're starting slow, but I think they'll come good. They've had a few injuries, but I think this week was the week, particularly when they had, you know, guys that were out that in recent weeks that came back into the side, like your Taulungis and Cotter was out for a bit, Nanai. I think, you know, they're all back in. They're taking on a Warriors side who they lost to only a few weeks ago at home. I was expecting a bounce back, and I thought they were easily the most disappointing performing team of the round. I thought they were awful. They had so much ball. I think in terms of, you know, the stat in and around tackles inside the opposition's half or 20, they were, you know, through the roof. They had ample opportunities to win it, and they just came up with nothing. And I thought they looked really flat. And I'm starting to think after 7 weeks that, you know, will they come good? Maybe last year was a bit of a one-off and something is not quite right up there at the moment. But yeah, that's probably my biggest takeaway of the round is just a lot of eyebrows raised for me at the Cowboys right now.
Yeah. When I look at the Cowboys, it's like they're playing the way we all thought they played last year when a lot of people tipped them and won the spoon. Like,
I did.
There's just not much creativity. I thought Chad Townsend, he was really bad against
He's been disappointing all year, I think, Chad Townsend. I thought he was brilliant for him last year. Last couple of games, particularly on Saturday, was or Sunday. I think it was Saturday, actually, sorry. He was really ordinary, really disappointing. I think you know, as the seven and as the guy that can have a lot of influence over that team, a lot of that does fall on him, unfortunately. I think they need a lot more out of him. It just seems like a lot of guys, you know, you look at that team, you know, Taulungi, Dearden, Townsend, you could even throw into the mix as well, Nanai, all these guys, Drinkwater, that probably had career best years. And I'm not sure that you can realistically say that any of them have gotten better, let alone maintain that that form that they had last year and recapture that. I mean, I know it's only round seven, but at the same time, we're almost a third of the way through the season now. And the problems that I'm seeing with the Cowboys are just reoccurring. I'm not seeing any sort of improvement, especially, you know, as they're getting troops back.
Yeah, such a good point. But yeah, we'll get to the Cowboys. We'll go a little bit more in depth for them when we do a test for this week. But yeah, just speaking on struggling teams, the Sydney Roosters, Zach, your second favorite team, you know,
yeah, the you take that back.
Yeah, so they've hit a little bit of a snag. A very, very disappointing game against the Cronulla Sharks, where they lost away from home.
Speak for yourself, mate. Not disappointing for me at all. I loved it.
Well, disappointing for me because I have Sam Walker in my Supercoach team, and he's been dropped in place of Joseph Manu at six and Luke Keary at seven. What's your reaction to this move by the Roosters, considering the context of their season so far?
First of all, I actually quite like the move. In terms of reactions, my initial thoughts are, I think this is only going to be a pretty short-term thing. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if in 2 weeks Sam Walker's back in the team. I don't think this is a move that is going to be the makeup of their side for the rest of the season, if I'm being honest. Just because, you know, they have a lot of stock in Sam Walker, and obviously he's a talented player. But I actually think it's the right move. I think Manu, you know, for a long time, for a couple of years now, I think amplified by how he went at fullback in the World Cup and how he's gone for the Roosters when he's had to jump in at one or at six. I think a lot of people watch them play and just think, geez, they need to get Joey Manu more ball. He needs to be more involved, just kind of staying down that sort of corridor at right center, even though he roams a little bit, but are you really getting the best out of him? And, you know, as an opposition fan, like if I'm coming up against the Roosters, I'm more worried with Manu at six than I would be with Manu at seven and Walker and Keary in the halves. I just think it also simplifies it a bit. It looks like they're a little bit confused when they play. There's a lot of sort of high quality guys that you got to try and bring into the game. The way Walker and Keary play is quite similar to each other. And I think not only does moving Manu to six get him more ball, it also just clears things up in terms of, all right, well, Keary's now the chief. He's the head honcho. He's got the seven on his back, and he's the main experienced playmaker in that side. And I think it just simplifies everything up a little bit. So do I think it's going to be long-term? Probably not, just because of how they rate Sam Walker, and I just can't see him spending, you know, the rest of the year in reserve grade. But, you know, in the short term, as much as I hate to say it, as the Bunnies fan here, I actually think it's a good move, and I think it makes them a more dangerous team. What do you reckon?
I mean, yeah, especially against the quality teams like the Storm and the Sharks, their attack, it looks too sideways. They're not really breaking down defenses early. And I think, yeah, as you said before, I think Sam Walker, he's been a little bit inconsistent, because I thought he had a great game against the Eels where he was just kind of, everything he was doing was kind of coming off. But then, you know, you just kind of see that inconsistency of a young player, and he's not really executing. And I thought it was a good point, because like Keary and Walker, they're both quite similar players, but there's not really much variety in terms of what they offer together as a halves combo. But now someone like Joseph Manu, he's so big and he can run the ball so well. You know, maybe his passing game's not going to be as good as, you know, someone like Sam Walker's, but, you know, he showed in the World Cup, didn't he, that he just needs the ball in his hand, and then things tend to happen. But I don't know, if I'm Sam Walker, are you a little bit worried? Because this is kind of how it started with Kyle Flanagan when he got dropped the first time.
Yeah, I think this is different. You know, he signed up to a long-term contract, I'm pretty sure. He re-signed quite recently. Like I say, I don't think this is going to be very long-term at all. You know, if we get to a month down the track and he's still on reserve grade, then yeah, maybe. But then again, like I say that, but what happens, and this is a very real possibility, if Manu just kills it at six, well, then what happens? It's going to be an interesting one to see unfold. I do think it's short-term, but, you know, you mentioned that Manu is not really a ball-playing six. I actually think that's part of the point. Like you touched on a little bit sideways with their attack. I think just having a running six who can take the line on, you know, Keary's a ball player. I don't think you need necessarily, with guys like Keary and Tedesco in your spine, probably don't need another sort of pass first 5'8". I think Manu, like I say, it sort of simplifies everything for him and makes him a more threatening side. So, you know, I say all that and I've sort of contradicted myself in saying that I think it's going to be short term, but that's only for the sheer fact that I just can't see the Roosters throwing Walker in reserve grade for that long, because I don't think this is a Kyle Flanagan kind of situation.
And then you see, if it works really well, as you said, then it kind of makes the Roosters have to choose between Walker and Keary. So even though someone like Sam Walker's being dropped at the moment, it could mean Keary's out the door, because he's the kind of older statesman that's probably a little bit downhill at this point. And Sam Walker's the young guy with tons of upside. So that's another interesting point.
It is, yeah. And I think if it got to that point and they want to keep Manu at six, I think then the plan would be Walker comes in as the 7-4 Keary. And, you know, he's had a history of head knocks. Keary is in his 30s, I believe. Or he's 30. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, then I think, you know, there is still a place for Walker there long term, with that being said. So, yeah, I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon, to be honest.
Yeah, so he's 31, turned 31 in February, so he'll be 32 at the start of next season. I actually saw a funny tweet on Twitter. It was said that Luke Keary's so out of whack that he's going to start being linked to the Dragons and the West Tigers soon, which made me
love that. Oh, no. I think you'd like that. You'd take Keary in a heartbeat, mate.
I'd say, yeah, like right now, I'd take Keary in a heartbeat. Absolutely. But yeah, that's an interesting point, because yeah, although that, like, Sam Walker's been dropped, maybe Luke Keary might be the one who just gets a little bit nervous, because Manu is just too good, isn't he, to be a center now, I feel.
I felt that for a little while. And I think, wasn't it the Warriors that came in a year or two ago with like a really big money offer, reportedly, to play fullback?
Yeah.
I think everyone sort of thought it with Manu over the last little while, but I think the World Cup with the Kiwis, where he played fullback and, you know, I think he won a golden boot, really drove the point home of like, I don't think you can really afford to have this guy in the centers and field your strongest possible team. And you can make the argument, yeah, but he can roam and he can do this and that. It's not the same. At the end of the day, he's playing the centers. So the proof will be in the pudding, though. So, you know, we'll get to see how he goes at six on a regular basis. I don't know how long it'll last. I'm not too sure. But I'll tell you one thing, mate. As a super coach draft player, as someone that picked up Joey Manu in round two, I'm quite happy that he's moved into six. I think that's going to mean more points for the Jason Dimitri dudes.
Oh, God. Don't even talk to me about draft, because I drafted Adam Dewey, ACL, and then I drafted Sam Walker, dropped.
You drafted Walker?
Yeah, I did, yeah. It was a panic, like, I think fourth or fifth round. But,
okay.
Yep. Not my finest moment, but, oh, God.
I had Jaden Brayley as well, so I had a couple of ACLs in the same round.
That sucks. And then, like, Tappins went to, like, shit as well.
Honestly. How hard has the tipping been this year? This last week was horrendous for me. I think I might have got 3 or 4.
I know, it's so bad, because I'm doing my girlfriend's tipping, and, yeah, we're not doing very well at the moment. She's doing, like, a work comp, and she turned to me and she said, are you just full of shit, like, when you say, like, you know rugby league?
Yes. No, I reckon, honestly, someone who just went in blind and picked teams at random would be, you know, have more points on the board in tipping than me right now.
Yeah, me too. But, yeah, it sucks. But that's rugby league for you.
It is indeed, mate.
Moving on from the Roosters, another much talked about half at this part of the season, Jack Whiten, Zach, has chosen to retire from Ret Footy. Apparently, he was thinking about this in the offseason, told Freddie Fittler that he was like leaning towards this, and then officially told him last week that he was officially going to retire from State of Origin and for the Kangaroos to focus on club footy. This is really interesting, considering that he is looking to go to market at the moment. Dolphins are looking like they could be very interested. What is your initial reaction to Jack Whiten retiring from Ret Footy?
I was pretty surprised. It just seems like there's a lot of changes in and around Jack Whiten, like potential changing club, going to market, retiring from Ret Footy. You know, I suppose the initial assumption is like, oh, is this perhaps part of a new deal that he's been offered, where, you know, he's fully committed to the club and maybe he doesn't play Ret Footy anymore. But, you know, if we're going to take Jack Whiten's word for it, which, you know, we should, that's the word straight from the horse's mouth. It's just, I think he said something, I'm paraphrasing, something around, you know, winning the World Cup was a nice way to sort of wrap it up. And he sort of felt pretty content after that. And you know, gets a bit more time with his family and that sort of thing. And I can understand, like, you know, he's 30, playing rep footy, especially in the middle of the year with that Origin series, and then you go away for, you know, a month and a bit, with the World Cup at the end of the year, like, it would be quite a lot. And I suppose if you're happy with what you've done in that arena, I can understand it. Still surprised, because I'm pretty sure, I mean, I don't know where, but I reckon he would have been in the team somewhere, to be honest, Whiten, like probably on the bench somewhere, because you can literally put him on anywhere. Even if you needed to use him as a middle, literally, you just chuck him on anywhere and he'd do a job. But yeah, surprise. I think it's interesting, especially with the speculation around his club future. But yeah, pretty, didn't see it coming. Didn't see it coming. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I just thought it's really interesting because when you don't play Origin, you're actually kind of cutting away a pretty big check, because isn't it 10 grand for a game now? It used to be 30, but...
It used to be 30. I'm not sure if it's... Because they cut it during COVID. I'm not sure if it's bounced back up. But like, if it was up to pre-COVID levels, if you played a three-game series, I'm pretty sure it was like 90 grand.
Yeah, so that's a lot of money for like, you know, like a little chunk of time. But, you know, like as you said before, like surely this has something to do with the kind of off-contract stuff. There was some speculation that he was a little bit annoyed about not getting picked in Game 3 last year, because he obviously had a great game. Game 1, got COVID Game 2, and then the Blues team had a really good performance in Game 2, so he never got re-picked for that third game. And that was the rumor, that he was kind of annoyed about that. But that's just speculation. And I agree with you. He would have been in the team somewhere for sure. He's too much utility value. I'm not sure he would have started, but my question to you is, does this make him more valuable or less valuable to someone on the open market?
I don't think it changes it too much, but you'd have to lean towards one way or the other, probably more valuable, just because, you know, you're not going to lose him for, well, you know, it's 3 weeks in camp, but, you know, that's sort of a 6 to 8 week period around the middle of the season where you're risking injury and you're losing him and he's backing up. So I think, you know, if you're a club making a big investment, it reduces the risk for you. So probably more valuable, but like either way, even if he was still playing, I don't think it would change it too much. I think he's still going to offer a lot of value to someone, whoever's going to pick him up.
That's good. It's a good point. So do you buy the Dolphins hype at the moment? Because it just seems like it's such a good fit, don't you reckon? Just based on how they've played in the first few rounds.
Yeah.
You can just see him so easily in a Dolphins jersey, couldn't you?
Yeah, I think we touched on it in an earlier episode when the story of him going to market first broke, in the sense that he really fits that sort of gritty, no-nonsense, tough style of footy. Like, he's not a finesse sort of flashy 5'8". He's a runner. He hits hard. He's physical. And I just think him and Wayne Bennett could be a match made in heaven. I mean, we've seen the special relationship that Wayne's had and the best he's gotten out of some of the game's best Indigenous players in the past. Like, at our club, I look at Cody Walker and Latrell and how good he was for their careers. I think, you know, Jack Whiten and Wayne Bennett together at a club like the Dolphins, and you add in Herbie Farnworth and Tom Flegler coming already next year, it's looking pretty good, and I could see it happening. To be honest, like, am I buying into the hype there a little bit? Like, when it first happened, I was sort of thinking, I took it as a strategy to maybe just up his price a little bit and get a better deal at the Raiders. I just did not see him leaving the Raiders. But the longer this is going on, particularly with the rumors that Canberra have already tabled a pretty substantial offer, you know, if he was going to stay, would he have accepted it by now? I'm not sure. The longer it drags on, the more I'm getting a bit suspicious. The great man Buzz Rothfield on 360 this week said that he seemed pretty confident that he's going to end up at the Dolphins. You know, a couple of things he said too in his, I think this was in the interview where he was talking about retiring from rep footy. He said something about winning a premiership is now his main goal, and then you think, well, you know, does he think he can do that at Canberra in the next couple of years? He's 30. I'm not so sure. I don't know what he's thinking, but it's going to be an interesting one. I reckon if I had to pick in 2024, I reckon Jack Whiten's wearing a Dolphins jersey.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because at the start of the season, you just assumed that he was going to take up the option for 1 year and then be off contract after that. But his manager's done a really good job. He's managed to flip that to where he's probably going to get another really big offer from somewhere else. And it looks like the Canberra have probably upped their offer as well for someone that, you know, if he said he was like $1 million for Jack Whiten, you'd probably say that's a little bit over. But now you know, if the Dolphins want him, they're going to have to get him for maybe 1.2, 1.3, because the rumor is that the Raiders offer as 1.1. So you'd imagine the Dolphins would have to go a little bit above that.
Yeah. And, you know, we know that they, although I mentioned Farmworth and Flegler, there's some good signings and they wouldn't have come cheap, but haven't really got that big sort of marquee guy yet, the Dolphins. So I think that they'd have the cash there, you'd have to think, in their cap to spend. And then, you know, I think, you know, would you go Whiten at 6, Katoa at 7 next year? Tough on Sean O'Sullivan to miss out, but, you know, it's a pretty handy halves combo. It's an experienced guy to have next to Katoa, who's only going to get better and better. So it's a good fit for the Dolphins. If you're putting a bet on it, where do you think he's playing next year?
Oh, I would probably say he's still leaning towards Canberra, I would think. But yeah, it's really close. I'm sitting on the fence here, even though I probably shouldn't. But yeah, I'd probably say Canberra. I think it's.
Do you reckon there's a possible? Do you think there's a possibility that it's neither? Like, I'm just thinking about that premiership comment. Let's say a big heavyweight team, and yeah, for argument's sake, I'll throw the Bunnies in there. Do you reckon he'll take unders to come to a club like that? Let's say, you know, good close with Latrell and Cody, for example, going to a side that, you know, might be a realistic chance of winning a comp. He might have to take, well, he would have to take a pay card. He might have to play center. Do you see him doing that for the sake of winning a comp, or do you reckon it's going to be a million plus and pretty much either the Raiders or the Dolphins in that case?
Well, I don't really see it happening, because he would probably have to half his paycheck, because how much can a team like the Rabbitohs pay him? Like, maybe
probably half of what Canberra are offering, I reckon.
Yeah, and like, I know that sounds good on paper, you know, like sacrificing the money to win a comp, but in financial terms, it's kind of like crazy, because, you know, like 500k a year is a lot of money, and then like if it's like a 4-year deal you signed with South, you know, that's the, you know, 500, that's $2 million before tax that you've, you know, haven't earned, and, you know, footy, like, that money's supposed to rest you for, like, supposed to kind of like make do for the rest of your life. So I would be very surprised if you did that. And yes, he wants to win a comp, but I'm sure he also wants to be, you know, financially compensated for it as well, which is why I just couldn't really see a team like South Sydney or like the Roosters or one of those contending teams like coming in and it be like serious. But my question to you is, if you were like, which team is closer to a premiership right now, if you had to choose, would it be the Dolphins or would it be the Raiders?
Honestly, like, over the next, let's say it's a 3 or 4 year contract, I'd say probably the Dolphins.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think the Raiders are in a bit of a mini rebuild, I think. And then look at the way that the Dolphins are going now. You add a little bit of class on top of the standards and the culture that they're building there and the forward pack they have. We've already touched on how well they recruited at a junior level, guys like Katoa, but there's others, Teague and Bostock and all these sorts of guys. I think that in a few years, they could be a real powerhouse. And I think, look at how they're going now with just the most bare bones, small prep. You know, they've just come together. They haven't landed a marquee. And they're sitting in the eight right now and holding their gloves up against pretty much everyone in the comp. If you throw Jack Whiten in there, and then, you know, a couple of more signings, I've already touched on Flegler, Farmworth, whoever else comes along, whoever comes through that they've developed, I think there's a serious footy team there in the next few years. Whereas Canberra, you know, particularly if Whiten goes, how do they replace? You know, they've already had trouble in the past of recruiting big-name players, largely geographically. Like, it's tough. If someone's from Queensland or Sydney, it's a tough sell to get someone to go and play for Canberra and live in Canberra, to be honest. I think that plays a part. And, you know, that, you know, you look through their spine, you know, they've lost a lot of guys. Like, that 2019 sort of grand final side has very quickly kind of fallen by the wayside a bit. Papaliti's getting older. You know, they've got Sebastian Chris at fullback at the moment. Savage is on the wing in reserve grade. I know they've got Chevy Stewart coming through, but, you know, that's a young guy. It'll take some time. I just think, particularly if Whiten goes, that the Canberra might be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, that's fair. I think in terms of like the more promising players, I think like Canberra, obviously, because they've still got Tappany, they've still got Papali'i. If they could sign a hooker, then it could be a go. And then, you know, they've got guys like Trey Mooney and guys like Chevy Stewart, Xavier Savage. So like a lot of really good up-and-coming players. But yeah, I think you kind of mentioned it. I think it's the Dolphins culture and the fact that Wayne Bennett's there, Christian Wolf as well. It's a highly rated coach. So it just seems like, although, like, you look at the team on paper, like, you might see that, you know, the Raiders have it, but then, you know, rugby league, it's not really played you know, games aren't won and lost on a team sheet. It's won and lost on like attitude, which is a trait that Wayne Bennett teams have in abundance. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm sitting on the fence with this one, but yeah, maybe the Dolphins, I suppose, because then I know living in Queensland, his partner is also from the area, so that could weigh into it as well. And the Dolphins could offer a little bit more as well. So I suppose like all these things kind of add together a little bit to him leaving, if you look at it from that perspective.
Especially if he's making a major change, like retiring from rep footy. Maybe he's just at a stage in his life, in his career, purely speculation, obviously, that he's looking for a bit of a change. He's 30 now. He doesn't have that long left. You know, he's done with rep footy. He's happy with that. Maybe he wants to change the scenery at Clubland as well. Play under Wayne Bennett. It'd be hard to turn down. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But, you know, I'm thinking Dolphins still. I'm thinking Dolphins. That's my official pick.
You're agreeing with Buzz Rawfield.
First time in my life.
Yep. Nah, it should be good. And he would look really good in a Dolphins jersey as well. Just,
yeah.
I don't know why I said that.
Yeah. I don't know how to respond to that.
But
I could just see it. I just think it's a good fit. The way they play and just him and I reckon him and Wayne would just get on like a house on fire.
I agree. You could probably like, trade cattle just like him and Latrell do. So
that's right. Yeah, that's right. But just quietly, if he goes to the Roosters, I may give up on rugby league.
Well, don't worry, I'm there with you with the Tigers. But
yeah,
that's the thing. Like yes, like if he goes to the Bunnies, he could probably play center, and that makes sense. But then it's just the money, like the salaries don't really work unless like maybe the Eels, but then, you know, like waiting for years, he played fullback, but he wasn't really like making it.
The Eagles, like they just re-signed Brown and Moses on huge contracts as well. I can't imagine they have a lot left in the kick bag.
That's what I mean. Like, there's just not many like options that make a lot of sense.
No, that's right. But man, what about the power of friendship? Him and Latrell, best buddies. I love a bit of a wrestle. After a birthday party, maybe they can bring that to training in the actual wrestle room. You can put Jack White in at left center outside of Trell and Cody. Man, who cares about money? It's not all about money.
It's not all about friendship. Money, but a lot of it is about money.
Well, when it's literally your occupation, then it's kind of about money. So I think he's going to go to the Dolphins.
Yeah, power of friendship. Like, do you reckon that would work with you if you're just working like someone, I don't know, someone, one of your friends is just like, come over here. Power of friendship compels you to quit your stable, well-paying job.
Man, sign me up. Yeah. Here I am. Yeah. Man, that's why I'm in the tragics. I quit my day job. No.
Yeah, if Rock can try to compare me with the power of friendship, I think I'll just politely decline.
I'd rather the power of money.
Yeah, the power of money is pretty good. Like, it's pretty powerful. Yeah,
it is pretty good. It is pretty good.
But yeah, just before we move on from the kind of origin talk, obviously this is kind of the point where a lot of people's like kind of draft teams come into play. Obviously, no Jack Wyden. We never really expected him to be in the starting team. But I would love to get your opinion on this because I think it goes through a few layers for the New South Wales Origin team. Obviously, Nicol Hynes, Dally M player of the year, last year against the incumbent Jerome Luai, premiership winner, had a like not a terrible series last year. I think he played really well in game two, but probably came up wanting in game one and three, which is why I think it's fair enough to question his position in the team. Like, would you go Hynes or Luai for that sixth spot? Or maybe someone else completely?
Yeah, mate, Cody Walker. Nah. I'll keep the Bunnies bias aside. I think it's got to be Nicol Hynes. I think it's got to be Nicol Hynes. He's the reigning Dally M medalist. I think since he's come back after his injury at the start of the year, he's been unbelievable. Look at what he did for the Sharks against the Roosters the other night. I just think you got to pick on form. And I think, you know, the saving grace for Luai, obviously, is the club combination that he has with Nathan Cleary, which is probably going to work in his favour, particularly, you know, maybe if Appy Korosau stays at 9, I'm not sure if that's what they're going to do, but Yo at 13. Obviously, the club combinations is the main thing that Luai has going for him, I believe, that might tip him over the line. But if I was picking the team, I'm going with Nicol Hynes 100%. I think he's playing better footy over the last couple of years, currently in better form. I think the way he plays, the fact that he's a seven at Clubland doesn't really concern me, because I think he plays like a natural six anyway. He's not a sort of structured ball player. He can play both sides of the ruck. He plays with a sort of natural freedom, and he can run the ball and take the line on. You know, he's obviously spent a lot of time at fullback when he was at Melbourne as well. And, you know, we saw what he did. He played six, I'm pretty sure, in the All-Stars game for the Indigenous side earlier in the year, and sort of floated between six and one a bit. I think he's a great fit there. I think him and Cleary could really click. I know they don't have the combo that Cleary and Luai have, but I reckon Hines is the man. And at the end of the day, Luai, although he's the incumbent, they didn't win the series last year. And I believe they probably should have. I think there was a missed opportunity there. So it's got to be Hines for me. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I'd go Hines as well, because, yes, I think combinations and origin is clearly important. But it just felt to me that when the Blues tried too hard to adopt that kind of Penrith style of play. And, you know, in club level, with the way the refs get penalties, I think that makes sense. But I think in origin, like, it gives the Queensland an opportunity to kind of bash you, and they can maintain that line speed and shut down defence. Like it's kind of impossible to do that at an NRL level, because you have to play 25 rounds plus finals. So in terms of like a stamina point of view, it is really tough to do that. But in origin, it's different because it's just three games, 80 minutes. So our team can potentially sustain that. And I just felt that kind of Penrith style of attack just didn't really translate when Queensland were up in their face. So, and like Jerome Luai, he pretty much was kind of null and void when, you know, Queensland were like doing that, executing that way. I understand that halves, you know, can't really do much when, you know, the forwards don't play much of a platform for them. But I just think that someone like Hines just adds like a different dimension to the Blues. And I just think that he's probably in a lot better form than someone like Jerome Luai at the moment. And I reckon he should do it. He just makes things look so easy, doesn't he? When he plays. And he's like, he doesn't really have any weaknesses in his game, and he's in form. I think he deserves it.
I agree. And even just, you know, his style of play, he's a big body for one. So, you know, he's not, I find that the sort of smaller, flashier ball players at origin level generally struggle a little bit, just because the game's so physical. And, you know, I think halves that aren't afraid to take the line on have that bigger sort of frame, but also just the calmness that he plays with, because he's going to be under pressure pretty much the whole game, just with the pace of an origin game and the intensity of and the defensive pressure he's going to be under. I think he'd make a perfect fit. I don't really buy into the fact that you need to have club combinations in an origin team. Like, I think there's ways around it. You build new combinations by picking the best players. And I think Hines and Cleary could, you know, they're two of the best halves in the game, if not the best. And I think they'd be perfectly fine, you know, with a bit of time and some reps on the training paddock and throughout a three-game series and going forward. I think it's the way to go for me.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll throw this one at you. Let's say that they pick Luai. Do you think there's room for someone like a Nicho Hines then to get a 14 role? Or do you think if they go the two hookers again with Appy and Cook, for example, one of them is the 14, does it then mean that someone like Hines, it's 5-8 or bust?
No, I don't think so, because he played that utility role for Melbourne really well. So, you know, you probably could play a little bit of hooker. Obviously, you would want, if you're going to pick Hines at 14, you would probably want an 80-minute hooker. So, you know, that's not ideal. And, you know, it's tough as well, because Appy, he's in a struggling team at the moment, so he's not really, you know, in the form you would want. I think push comes to shove, I would probably pick a 14, because I think Paul Gallen said that, you know, Origin, it's so physical. You know, it's played between the two 40-meter lines, and, you know, having, you know, one pure hooker, it's a bit of a gamble, especially since Cook's, you know, probably not, you know, at the peak of his powers in terms of his career at the moment as well. More from an age standpoint than form, I'd say. So, like, you probably would want someone like Appy there, but I wouldn't be, I definitely wouldn't complain if Hines had that 14 spot.
Interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds, because I think it's fair to say last year, New South Wales, I certainly think that there was quite a few selection decisions that I don't think they got right. Easy to say in hindsight, but at the time I thought the same. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, because there are a couple of decisions around key positions where it could go a couple of different ways, but it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it a lot. Obviously, a bit earlier to talk about Origin at the moment, because, you know, one key injury could change everything. but it should be good. All right, shall we move on to the player of the round?
Let's do it, mate. I want to throw it to you to start because I'm still deciding.
Okay, so my player of the round, I have to say, I was just infinitely impressed with the Brisbane Broncos on the weekend. I know Rutkin, if he listens to this, is going to, you know, crack it with me, but just so dangerous. And I just think that, like, Reece Walsh is just, he's really, like, he burst onto the scene with the Warriors, but he's really recaptured that form that we saw early on. And, you know, there's a legitimate debate that he could be the Queensland starting fullback. I'm not sure if he'll get it, but I think it's a fair argument to make. So he's my player of the round.
That's a very good pick. I was deciding between two, and he was one of them. For the other one, as tempted as I am to go Cody Walker, I'll have to go the man that we were just speaking about, Nicho Hynes. I thought, you know, in a big game, on a big, you know, big occasion for the Sharks, I thought he really stepped up. He didn't have it all his way. I think, you know, early in the game, he was, you know, he didn't quite get into a rhythm, and I think the Roosters were sort of pressuring him a little bit, and it was a bit of a dogfight. I think at halftime, was it 12-all? They may have even been behind at one point there. I think it was 12-all at halftime, or 12-8 to the Roosters, I think. And that second half, I thought he was just great. And he stood up when the game was on the line and drove his team home. I mean, his stats were unbelievable. A couple of line breaks for himself. He had a try assist. He took the line on heaps. I think he ran for almost 200 metres. So for a seven is crazy. I think, but it was more just the context in which he did it. The Sharks really needed to win that against tough opposition at home. With the game on the line, as I said, I think they were trailing 12-8 at halftime. For him to do what he did in that second half, I think just proves why, you know, why I believe he is ready for Origin and why he's obviously gotten that long-term extension on the big bucks. I think that's when you want your key players to stand up, and he did it.
Yeah. No, he's so good. And he just looks so cool when he plays as well. So
he does.
So annoying. And yeah,
he's such a liar. How do you not like the guy? Like, even just the way he talks, and you know, that Dally M acceptance speech that he had last year was really nice. Just seems like a good dude. And like, he didn't have it all his way. Like, he wasn't one of those sort of, like, I guess as an example in that sort of like Joseph Suoliti mold where he was like the big gun coming through. He sort of had to grind a little bit. He was in the Manly system. He got cut. He had to go to the Queensland Cup and sort of grind away there. Got a shot at Melbourne. And just worked his way up. I think he was the third choice fullback there for a while when they had like Drinkwater and Pappenhausen at Melbourne, and Hynes was there as well. And he just bided his time and he took his opportunities. He's a hard guy not to like.
Yeah. And that's the insane thing, because like, he wasn't even third rate, because I remember when Scott Drinkwater got like released to play for the Cowboys, they signed Nicho Hynes on a training trial from the Sunshine Coast. So he was, you know, fourth option at one point. It's just absolutely insane that, you know, a team like the Storm could just pump out these absolute guns. So anyway, we're not going to talk about the Storm because we gave them enough raps. I think we should move on to tips for this week. What do you reckon?
Let's do it.
All right. So
I believe we're at round eight already.
I know. I feel like I've aged tremendously. Oh, like really, really badly. That's right. Like, honestly. So this one's going to test your loyalty here a little bit. South Sydney v Penrith on Thursday night. Who have you got?
Oh, I've got a feeling. I've got a feeling in my bones. I think we're going to win this game.
Declan?
Keon Koloamatangi, 6 to 8 weeks. That's a massive loss. Junior Totola not back yet, but I thought Jai Arrow made a huge difference through the middle coming back last week. And then obviously Koloamatangi and Totola hurt not being there, but looking at Penrith, I think they're still without Liam Martin and James Fisher-Harris as well. So they've got a couple of similar outs as well. I just think it's time to break the hoodoo here. I think we've got to beat these blokes finally. We got close. We got within six in round two, and that was without pretty much our entire middle forward rotation. And although we do have a couple outs, Junior and Keon, like I mentioned, it would hurt. I think we're in for an upset here. I'm going to go the Bunnies by four.
Good point. I think you've got merit for this, because obviously the Panthers struggled against the Knights. Didn't play that great, but I'm going to tip Penrith here just because I'm not going crash out in my tipping. And I think I'm going to go with the market favourites. But I think you're right. I think there is a little bit of room for an upset here.
A bit of hope.
They'll be pissed off at that performance, which is sort of worrying me a bit because it's rare you see them play sort of average 2 weeks in a row. But also 5 day turnaround from Saturday into Thursday might give us a bit of an advantage. I'm not so sure if it makes much of a difference, but no, I think sneaky upset here for the boys.
Yeah. I'll be at the game.
If we win, you'll find me on camera. I might even jump on the field and go party sword Jai Arrow.
And then be out for 3 weeks with glandular fever again.
That's right.
All right, moving on to the Parramatta Eels v the Brisbane Broncos. I think the Broncos are probably going to do this one for me. I know the Eels have beaten the Tigers and the Bulldogs, but, you know, two lower-ranked teams, I think the Brisbane Broncos, I think they're a little bit more legitimate at this point.
Does the Darwin factor play in for you at all? Like, does that favour anybody? Oh, I'm going to tip the Broncos as well. I just think they're too red hot at the moment. They're so dangerous. And I'm not overly convinced with Parramatta, despite the big win against the Dogs. They were pretty depleted, had a couple of walking wounded out there. Not convinced on Parra yet. And I think Brisbane, whilst they a little patchy at times, their first half against the Titans wasn't great. I think they'll win this one.
Yeah, but even in Darwin, like, the Broncos' outside backs are just incredible. Like, those kind of hot, muggy conditions really favors expansive footy. So I reckon it's going to, like, help them a lot. So I'm pretty confident the Broncos are going to win this game.
Yep, I'm with you.
All right, so the battling Bulldogs v the Cronulla Sharks. I think we're both probably going to go with the Sharks here based on the Bulldogs' injury list at the moment. What do you reckon?
Yeah, agree. I'm going to go the Sharks here, I think. This is probably one of the ones I'm more confident in.
I do feel a bit bad for the Bulldogs. Viliami Kiko out. Apparently, like, up to 11 first-grade players not available. Is that a fair criticism, a fair excuse for them?
Like I said, I feel like a lot of teams have caught really bad injuries throughout the year. Like, you know, we were without pretty much all our middles for a point there. I just think it's not really an excuse. Like, it makes it tougher, but injuries are part of the game, especially this season. So, you know, it doesn't have a little asterisk saying injuries on the ladder. So they got to get it done. It makes it a lot harder. And I think, you know, even without the injuries, I would still go to the Sharks, but it makes it very tough, especially Karaz. That's a really big loss. He was killing it for him.
Yep. All right. What about this one? The North Queensland Cowboys v the Newcastle Knights.
Fuck, this is a tough one. I don't know what to make of the Cowboys. Like a Townsville. I don't know what to make of the Knights either. Ponga's back. Against all of my instincts, I'm going to tip the Cowboys because I've continuously tipped them like a lot this year. Back at home, surely this is where we see a response. I'm going to go the Cowboys with no confidence whatsoever.
Oh, I don't know. Ponga back. I saw some Knights fans making the point that they should bring Ponga from the bench, which made me laugh because he's on so much money. But I don't know. I think I'm gonna go the Knights here. I'm just gonna have to trust form because Tamalolo's out for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Quarterback to 13. But there has to be that bounce back game for them. It has to come at some point. But I think the Knights are in a little bit of form, so I'm gonna back them here.
That's fair.
Yeah. All right. The Dolphins v the Gold Coast Titans. What do you reckon for this one? This is literally the definition of flash. Be substance, I reckon, in terms of how the two.
Yeah, it is, and I think substance in defense wins every time over flash. No Kenny Bromwich, but Kafusi's back. Really good first half against us last week, but I think the Dolphins will bounce back.
Yep. All right. So I think I'll take the Dolphins as well. Sorry, Rutkin. All right. Manly versus the West Tigers at Campbelltown. What do you reckon?
I'm sorry, I'm going Manly. I just can't tip the Tigers right now until I see something. I've got to go Manly.
Yep, I don't disagree with you. I've got Turbo on my fantasy team as well, so I'm hoping that he'll have a good game. Really, so that's one win for me. All right, Sydney Roosters v the St. George Illawarra Dragons. The Anzac Day clash, this is a big one. Usually form kind of goes out the window in this one because both teams left for it. Are you going to tip the Roosters as well?
I am. Dragons caused the upset last year, but like I said, I think Manu at six makes them a pretty dangerous team. So I'm going to go the Roosters.
Okay. I'm going to go Roosters as well. What about Storm Warriors at Amy Park?
Yeah, can't go past the Storm in Melbourne. The Warriors have been really gutsy, and they've impressed me a lot this year. I think Andrew Webster deserves a lot of credit. I think they've been really, really good. But I think Melbourne in Melbourne, probably, you know, Nick Meaney back, I believe, Munster back to six. I think it's probably a bit too much for the Warriors to overcome this time.
Yeah, I'm going to go Melbourne as well. All right, I think that's us for the preview of the round.
Yep.
Thanks for joining me.
Hopefully. Thank you for having me, mate. Congratulations on your 2 points from the bye once again.
Thank you. God, it's just the worst. Like I was telling Zach that, like the quality of the games have been so good. It's actually made me sad to watch it. So it's been hard to watch just actual footy games. Like I was really sad watching the Titans and the Broncos play because it just reminded me just how far off the pace we are. But
oh, mate, I don't know what to say anymore. To you or any Tigers fan, there's nothing I can say at this point to make it any better for you. It's just, look, maybe this is your week. Maybe, you know, the magic of Campbelltown will sprinkle in the air and get you a win.
Yeah, hopefully. So all I can say is fens up till then.
It's up. Go the Bunnies.